day in the hospital, I was put onto normal food. And it just showed how bloody stupid they were. I could go then, I was told I could just go and queue up for my meal, same as everybody else, and they all wanted me to. And what a day, what a dinner I had a Sunday day, it was a Sunday. Roast beef and very lost. And ah, God, that afternoon I nearly died. Was I ill? Get this food after I've been 6 weeks on fat-free diet. Give you no foot, no strength at all. And I was just killed. We eating all this lovely dinner.
So God would advise you to take it easy.
No, no warning at all. They
so
did.
When you left the hospital, where were you sent?
Went to someplace. I wouldn't have had the clue where it was, but it was more like a German stalag, I think. More like a concentration camp. What a dump. And the food was terrible.
And what were you doing there?
Nothing.
This was convalescent? Was
yeah.
Was it very regimented and strictly disciplined?
No, there was no regimentation at all. You just filled your days in the best you could and hoped to God something would happen and get you out of it. I was troubled with diarrhoea along with a lot of other people. I had a terrible deal with diarrhoea there, and the trains went miles away. And honestly, there were that many fellas sick with diarrhoea. Well, it was a way you were eating the whole life. It was terrible, cold, bitterly cold weather.
When is this? What date would this be?
Oh, I've no idea. I'd lost track of dates. It was back in the year when I came out of this damn hospital.
It must have been the winter time.
It was winter, of course. Come back from the Italian deal.
How long were you in the convalescent home, camp, or
whatever it was? Not very long.
Where did they send you then?
There was a few Durhamite infantry, 16 Italian lads there. And I went to this office to see if I could get put onto there. No, there's no such thing that they could transfer me. If you leave here, you'll be marked AWOL. And besides, you're not A1. I was A1 vision. That was my coding in the book. And I would have gone with them lads without asking. But I thought, well, if I do, I'll be in trouble, won't I? When they were discharged from this damn bodies, they were on the way back. Oh, that was another camp, wasn't it? Ah, that's right. Another what they call them, camp, I was in. Well, they were terrible places there. God almighty. But of course, there was diarrhea and that, which was miserable. Oh,
so they went off, you were sent somewhere else. Where did you go?
Well, I was just from one place to another. Half the time I didn't know where I was or what these units were. When we went from one place to another place, and when we got there, the fellas that were already in this small camp and that, what it was doing, whether it was an anti-aircraft place or whatever, I didn't know. I was losing interest in just about everything at the time. And they said, well, once you come to a place like this, boy, you'll starve to death here. That's the reception we got. And,
so they shunted you around then, didn't
oh,
they?
Oh, yes, well, from one place to another.
Is there any place no, that you remember that
not till I was posted as guard duty to the 217 POW camp. And that was just about 10 miles out of Finland. South of Finland, on the Constantine Road. And it was a guard operation there. There were still German prisoners there then. And this big wired-in thing, down at right, you know, 7 foot high, and a catwalk round the outside, more down at right. Albert from the conversation. Eddie Boyle and Roy, and they were all, they'd never been in action, any of them. They were all got out of it somehow. Eddie Boyle was excused boots, and we were up to the eyes in mud in that camp. It's 217, the living quarters were on a bit of a bank up from a little stream. Mud everywhere where you move. Wet again, winter time. In tents. Eddie Boyle in his PT shoes, the sun shoes, you know. Excuse boots.
What state were the prisoners then?
They were canny. I used to talk to them on peace. There was a lot of them very young lads.
Happy the war was over for them?
Oh, aye. They weren't interested in escaping. I was on patrol duty round the catwalk. There was two resorts together in the catwalk round the outside of the Dunnet Wire. And it was a pretty dark night. We had a torch with us if we needed it. And we see this German, first of all, on the top of the great high gate. It was about 8 foot high. Barbed wire, but it was a wooden frame. And he was sitting astride. Well, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing up there? And he starts gabbling to us. And they could talk English, practically all of them. And then we see some of them crawling along in the Dunnet Wire. He had five rolls. You know what Dunnet Wire is like. By terrible stuff. And these rolls were all out miles on, you know, they were about 7 foot high. And there was one or two of them crawling along the side and getting out, and then there was some on the catwalk. We were taking a picnic. We said, well, the heck do you think you're not going anywhere? I was just going to get apples, Johnny. Orchard apples. They've got bags with them. We're coming back, we're not escaping. My sisters said, we said to one brother, us two with a rifle and loaded rifle. So what do we do with them? I said, well, look, all right, we decided the tones. Well, let them go and get their apple and their oranges. So, right, we wait around here. You go with the oranges if you know where you're going. Oh, yes, we know where they are, Johnny. So we let them go. We let them get through the wire again somewhere. And we said, come back here. Mind you, have a few for us as well. They came back all right, loaded with apples. Next day, that compound was full up, full of skin.
How long were you with this unit?
Oh, several months.
Where did you move to after that?
We moved with that unit. It was going to be closed, the camp there. It finished up with Italian civilians, political prisoners. And they were a horrible, mucky lot. All big, fat, wealthy, look fat, wealthy Italian civilians.
These were fascists, were they?
They were political prisoners, yeah.
And were you guarding those as well?
Yes, they were prisoners. They were serving prison sentences. Well, they'd been taken out of Italy. We didn't have much to do with them.
And then, where did you go to when you moved from there?
Well, that camp was being closed down, and we were moved to a camp that had been vacated just on the outskirts of Constantine. It was a lovely town, was Constantine. We're about 5 miles out, actually, on a camp that had been established with some barbed wire, that sort of thing. But we didn't have any prisoners there. It was a closed down job. It was just the personnel that had really been this guard company, a couple of officers and a CBO and two or three officers and the police sergeant. Well, I met a very good friend. Well, I wasn't in that POW camp long before the provost sergeant, he was a Scots guardsman, and he got hold of me very shortly after he'd gone to this camp, and he had me in his tent, and he was in your community, and he must have twigged that he'd heard me talking, and he knew I was a Yorkshireman and all. And he said, well, do you think he was in Drayden Broad, Yorkshire? Stothers, his name. He came from Hartlepool. His father was harbour master at Hartlepool. And they said, well, do you think you'll make a policeman, gent? I said, what? I laughed. Well, I said, make a policeman laugh, maybe. No, I said, I'm serious. He said, I think you'll probably just make a good one of my mob, he says. There was about six in a little tent. And he wanted one or two more, possibly. So I thought, well, if you get me out and mix in these other rough lot, I'll have a go. I've never dreamed of anything like being a policeman, or sir, it wasn't in my line at all. But it wasn't policing anything.
This is not the RMPs?
No, not the MPs, no. Just the company police.
When did you go to the African headquarters?
Oh, we went to Constantine and the whole thing was packed up there. And we've got into Constantine a bit. Nice town. I met a lad from Manfield in Constantine. Another lad, Manfield, next village to Oldham. And we know that camp was falling down again, and we had a lot of money in a fund that was a sort of a, they had a name for this fund, where you could buy a few luxuries, you know, and that sort of thing, and have a party or something like that, boozing party. And there was a lot of money in this fund, so we'd have one heck of a boozer. The night before we were leaving Constantine, we were going to go by train, the Rapide, all the way from Constantine, right through to Algiers. Right back into Algeria. And up at the outskirts of Algiers. And we had a terrible party, and then we got on the, we were all nearly dying next day.
What were you doing at the North African headquarters?
Well, I went there as was posted there as guard personnel. There was a big camp of guards, of guard all over these areas of different people, these officers people, you see. There's guards posted all over the town, various units. And there was a camp of just the guard personnel. And from there, they were asking for driving personnel, and I get my name down straight away as a driver, and I got into the MT. And that was when we were running around with trucks and cars, and not trucks, it was all PUs and Humber Snipes, and God, and all the big fine cars for the big fine officers. Trips over to Bourne and God knows where. It was a good job, that.
Do you remember any high ranking people that you drove?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't get on in It's called San Martino, foot of the Apennine Range of Mountains. The range of mountains going up from this village. Big camp, but there were all sorts of units of every description. There was a big amount of the Irish Brigade there. They were a rough lot. No, by God, they caused some trouble. Didn't they? Well, then I got myself onto a police job there as well, before I knew where I was. And but it was only just like the entrance to the various parts of the camp. You had an entrance and you had a tent there, you know, and fellas broke in and broke out, and that's about what we were doing.
Were you there until you came home from your mom?
Yes, I did get me. I moved from that to a place nearer Naples, but I wasn't there just about four. Oh, I had a leave. I had a leave. You've heard a layup. Leaving advance of something or other. I got that surprise in my life when my name appeared for layup leave.
How long did you get?
10 days.
And that was back home?
Back home.
Did they fly you back?
No, by road. By rail, train. 4 days travel for train.
So you get 6 days actually at home, did you?
I got 10 days at home.
Right, that was 10 days that was...
Yeah.
In addition to the
travelling wasn't counted, no. Crossed
so
the
that route. Must have been quite a welcome return.
It was, but it wasn't a very happy one. But that's the end of the story.
Then you come back to Italy.
Then I went back, and I had to start going back on the Friday from home. And if the leave had just kept until the Monday, I wouldn't have had to go back at all. I would have been demobbed from England. But it was all a set date for a set code number. Body mob, you say, and there was nothing you could do about it. And
so you went back to Italy to turn around and come back home.
Within 3 weeks, I was all organised for the mob.
Where were you demobbed from?
Aldershot.
And the procedure? Yeah. What was the demob procedure?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. They couldn't suppress us then. We were going to have a bit of fun, whatever it was, whatever we felt like. We weren't unruly. There wasn't anything unruly, but we made the most of the journey home. We got very sort of shocked when people, the British people, you would have thought we were British, in visitors from the word of moon or somewhere. Nobody wanted to even know us. I don't know whether it was our behaviour. We weren't behaving badly, but we were jolly. We were a bunch of fellas who were full of life, and we were a really happy lot. We weren't too particular about our behaviour, but we weren't really. The travelling civilians in England didn't want anything to do with them. By Jove, they didn't. Well, it was because we were so burnt brown, then they all were foreigners. We were all burnt brown, black, nearly. And that was coming home finally.
And what date were you demobbed on?
As far as I can remember, it's in there, actually. No, your demob date was... You had 3 months demob leave, you see, and that took me to March. 3rd of April, I was demobbed. Finally, that was after 3 months. We were paid for three months.
Did you get the suit, did you?
Oh, yes. There wasn't much choice left when we got to Aldershot. Oh, we went to Aldershot for all that, and papers and that, and pay book, and then we went to Aldershot, and then back into London and back home. There was an about 3 hours on the latter part of the afternoon, where they were down the country somewhere, not far from London. There was only three of us in coming the rest of the journey north, and we were in the ordinary third class travel, you see, and out of the first class part of the train, a little Joe boy comes through in civilian clothes, and we were all sitting together, and say, we knew one another by the journey, you see. And he had a chat with us, and we said he asked us where we were going and why we were there, and we said we were on our way home, the mob. Oh, he said, well, after chat, he said, well, look, he said, would you like to come and join me? He said, I'm in the first class carriage, but he said, I'm on my own. He said, you come and join me, we'll have a little drink, he says. He took the three of us into the first class carriage, and he gets this beautiful little case down, opens it up, and he had whiskey and gin and God knows what. And we chatted all the way to where I left. There was two lads going up to Newcastle, and I got off in Darlington, and he had some grub as well. He was kindness itself, that little dear boy. Really oldest chap. That was it. I was born. And I was met on Darlington station.
Who was the best officer you served under?
No, it'd have to be an easy if you asked me the worst one.
Well, the worst one. Who was the worst one?
Well, I'm not going to mention the names. No. No, there was some good, some bad. But I got on very well with Major Hillis for a start. Very well. And for some reason or other, throughout my life, when I was with my own battalion, I seemed to get a lot of jobs with the truck. Jobs where there was manoeuvres taking several days or some weeks in one instance, and I always seemed to get taken. If there was one truck from A company, it was always me. I never really knew the reason why. I think, well, I could talk to anybody more intelligently, and I didn't crawl to anybody. I just talked to him. Didn't matter what rank they were. I treated him with the respect due to him, but I was never crawling. No, it wasn't in my nature. No, sir. I was as good as any of them, but in my own line. And I got a lot of jobs like that. And I got to know Major Hillis very well. A company commander, as he was then. Now, he was taken prisoner at Sedgenham. And he never got over that. He was so... After the war, when he was demobbed, I used to get to know from Johnny Preston. He knew Major Hillis. And when we were at the reunion, I asked him about Major Hillis, and he knew all about him. Oh, he said he never got over this terrible depression from being made prisoner of war in North Africa. And he said he just killed himself with drink. And he was a very wealthy family, was Hillis. There were big timber timber firm in Hull.
You've talked about Preston, and obviously he was a hell in the What about Worrell that succeeded him? What was he like?
Worrell, well, I didn't have anything to do with him because he was a day company officer to start off with, you see. We didn't have much to do with him. We knew them by sight, we knew them by name, that's all.
Into contact when he took the battalion over.
Who was the?
I think I'm wrong. I think he took the battalion over after you left.
I knew the name, but he started off as being a D company.
So you hadn't seen much of him.
No. Is it?
And of course, your friends, who were the closest friends that you made with the battalion?
Well, there was Billy Wilson. He was an eight-platoon driver of A company. He was a Geordie, Tynesider. We were very good pals. I had a very good Paul, before we got our established MT, while I was in the rifle company, lads, George Beveridge, he was from Newcastle. He was a nice lad, and B Company. I was called up in the first place with B Company because I registered in Darlington, you see, County Durham. I had my medical at Darlington, and we registered at a post office, a village post office in Gainford. I had to cycle through from Albert to Gainford to register for the army.
And did these people survive the war?
No, Billy Wilson did, but George Beveridge was killed because he was in the rifle companies. He became a sergeant in